This is WMRW LP 94.5 Warren, Vermont, streaming live at WMRW.org. We are an all-volunteer, non-commercial, independent community radio station located right here in the Mad River Valley.
The following program presents the views of its participants and producers. It does not necessarily represent the views of WMRW or its license holder, RootsWork.
The Walrus and the Carpenter by Lewis.
Good afternoon, Mad River Valley. Sorry, I had to cut off the Walrus and the Carpenter, but I'm sure you'll have another opportunity to hear them. This is Jerry with the 5-H Show. 5-H's are health, harmony, happiness, humor, and humanity. And I have a guest today. She's actually going to call in about 10 after 12. And she's going to talk about Community Day being organized to ramp up support for phone-free schools. That's a very brief summary of her efforts. And I think it's a really good effort. And they have a couple of bills in the House, one bill in the House and one bill in the Senate, both promoting that issue. And I was really happy to see both of our representatives, Dara Torrey and Candace White, are on the original bill as one of the, I guess they're called co-sponsors. The sponsor is Arsenault of Williston. And then there's a long list. There's over 50 co-sponsors written on this bill, which is terrific. And it's bipartisan, which is terrific and unusual. And so I think it's something that people are really interested in achieving, which would be great. But there's going to be a community day. I'm going to let Liza talk about that as soon as she calls in. She'll be calling in about 10 after. And before that, I'd like to tell you that we have a sponsor for the show, underwriter for the station. WMRW is generously underwritten by Mountainside Ski Service. Ski rentals, demos, tuning, and custom boot fitting since 1995. And your full-service ski shop for personal attention since 1995, located in the Sugarbush Village, right across the Chez Henri Bridge, and just past the daycare on the left. You can reach Mountainside Ski Service at 802-583-9299, which is also WAX, W-A-X-X, online at mountainsideski.com. And I think at this point, you're able to ski right into them because we have so much beautiful, white, fluffy snow out there. And I hope everybody's been getting out to enjoy it. It's just been so much fun. I don't know. I love winter. And we haven't had a real winter like this in so long. And it's just been great to see all that fluffy, wonderful snow. And before Liza calls in, I thought I'd mention a couple of other local events that are here that we have listed at the station. The Corner School Resource Center presents a third Thursday mystery movie club. The movie is a mystery, but not necessarily a mystery movie. The February guest hosts is Rochester's own Griffith family, Burley, Amber, Mason, Kaya, and Naomi, and they will decide on a single fabulous film and what it will be. The screen is big, the sound is great, the seats are comfy, and the company is the best. Anyway, it's for Thursday, February 20th. The doors open at 5:30 for hot soup, bread, popcorn, and cookies. Water's available, or BYOB, food by donation. Film starts at 6, and it is free. Free is always good. The Corner School is at 75 Post Office Hill Road in Granville. And for more information, you can contact vtcornerschool@gmail.com, or you can call Kate. 802-989-8787. And again, that is February 20th. Oh, wait a minute. Scratch that. I might as well get rid of this because it was last night. Anyway, I hope you made it. The other thing I did want to mention before Liza calls in is, I did an interview a few weeks ago about this. It's the Valley Tax Volunteers. They're back to help low and middle income taxpayers prepare their federal and Vermont tax returns for free. They're IRS certified, sponsored by the Capstone Community Action, and they serve people with gross incomes at or below $67,000. They make appointments every Thursday and Friday from 3 to 7, and they take place at the Waitsfield Town offices. You can call ahead for an appointment at Capstone Tax Line, 802-477-5148. Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. through 3 p.m., just leave your name and number, and a volunteer will call you back. And they can e-file your return for free. And if you do a refund, they can arrange direct deposit to your bank account. Last year, they brought $35,000 in tax refunds back to residents of the Valley. So it's a really good service. And if you fit into those parameters, take advantage of it. Call the Capstone Tax Line, 802-477-5148. And I also wanted to mention, since I have a few minutes, and I always forget to do this, the shows that are, they'll be taking place over the weekend. Of course, Gary's after me at 2 p.m., 2 to 6, and he gets quite an audience, so you probably really already know about him. But in case you don't, he plays great music, and his show's called The Weekend Warm-Up. Gary Jackson, he'll start at 2 p.m. after my show. And then there's Nuclear Hot Seat at 6 p.m., Wings at 7 p.m., Omni at 8 p.m., and Deep in the Pink with Jenna Flower at 9 p.m. So we have quite a lineup for Friday. And then tomorrow, LJ is on from 9 to 1, I think. 9 to 1, yeah. And he plays some great music. Before him is Le Show with Harry Shearer, and he's really funny if you haven't had an opportunity to listen to him. And then after LJ is Chronological Journey with Ross Sigmund, and after that is Baseball and the Boss. Dan and Kirk, I think it's Westmore. Anyway, Dan and Kirk. I guess that's good enough for now, and we're getting close to baseball season, so you might enjoy listening to them. And then in the evening, they have the Juke Joint Blues Show. And that's John Cass, and that's a really good show. I love that show, if you like blues, which I do, and The Kitchen Sink with Chris Tierney. And I just found out that Brian Oust is, I think he moved his time slot from, it's now on at 7, because I thought he left, but he didn't leave. He's still here, and he does the Wood Warblers Jazz Show, which is terrific, Jazzgrass, and he plays an hour of bluegrass and then an hour of jazz, and he's a really great DJ and really fun to listen to. And then on Wednesdays, every Wednesday, is Rick's Cafe on from 1 to 5. And Rick plays some great music. And I love Rick's stories about musicians and music. And he's really fun to listen to, too. And a bunch of other people, too, that I don't have time to specifically talk about all of them. Politics and Science, which is a really good show. So I hope you get to tune in and listen to some of these other programmers. And I am going to put on Hal for a couple of minutes because Lila will be calling in really soon. And then I'll be back as soon as I get her on the air.
cardinal sees his life, into the glass he flies. The perfect partner he does spy, a moment's glance of eyes. Reflections of a future love, feel the pull of fate. The perfect love turned out to be himself in haste and vain. Passion's flush of red, bloodied on the pen.
Okay, are you ready to go on the air? Okay, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, great. This is Jerry. I'm back again, and Hal's off, and I have our guest on the phone, and her name is Liza Earl Centers, and she's coordinating a community day on February 26th at the Vermont State House to rally support for the Vermont Coalition for Phone and Social Media Free Schools. And thanks, Liza, for taking the time to call in.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, I'd like to start, especially since it's local community radio, with just a little summary about your background, where you're from, and how you ended up where you are now.
Sure, yeah. I grew up in Richmond, Vermont, and then went to college in Massachusetts and had some great adventures out west after that, and then knew I really wanted to come back to Vermont to for the phase of life of settling down and raising family. So I switched from being an outdoor educator, which is what I had done out in California, doing science education with sixth graders. I got my classroom teaching license, and from 2008 to 2012, I taught at Callis Elementary. Loved being a fifth and sixth grade classroom teacher there.
Aww.
It was just amazing, taught all subjects. It's a great little school. And then my daughter came along in 2012, so I took some time off to be at home with her. Did some more outdoor education through the Nature Center here in Montpelier with little kids.
Yeah.
And then worked some at the Unitarian Church, which was youth programming from the nursery up to the high school youth group and even adults. So that was 6 years. And then now I'm at Central Vermont Adult Education. So I'm on my lunch break from that right now.
Okay. Well, we'll try and keep it brief, but gosh, you have quite a resume and quite a background with kids.
Lots of different ages and settings. Yeah. And my dad taught fifth grade for 40 years in Essex Junction.
Oh.
So teaching's in my family.
Yeah. Well, that's great. How did you get interested in this topic, the use of cell phones in schools? What drew you to that?
Yeah, well, you know, when I taught at Callis Elementary, it was this magic culture of reading. You know, fifth and sixth graders are starting to get just some really neat books, you know, by amazing authors, and they would just beg me for silent reading time and find the nooks in the classroom and just be so absorbed, or read aloud. It was always the best part of the day. And so I just loved that culture. And then I remember when it was, I think it was probably about 2017. So my students at that point would be like juniors and seniors who I'd had. And I went to a Nordic ski race at U32 to cheer them on. And I remember seeing parents of some of my favorite students. And I would say, oh, does so-and-so still read a thick book like every 3 days? And I was like so excited, and their faces just fell, and they just said, oh, Liza, you know, as soon as they get their phones, they just stop reading. And that just broke my heart. I could not have imagined that when they were in my classroom, you know? And so at that time, my own stepsons were 12 and 14, so we were just a little behind.
How long ago was this?
Yeah, this, I think this conversation, when it first just like went off as, oh, this is not good for our kids. This was probably 2017 or so.
Yeah.
And so smartphones had been out, you know, really in Vermont for like 3 or 4 years, sort of, really reaching into that high school age group. I think we were a little behind the rest of the country from talking with doctors and things like that. So, yeah, then, you know, we had pretty good limits with my stepson and trying to keep that constant use from happening. But then COVID hit, right, in 2020, and it was such a similar story for parents of adolescents. It was just suddenly that spring, they couldn't hang out with their friends, right? It was their way of socializing, was on their phone. Yeah. And we couldn't deny them that. And then they were online for school, so it was their calculator. Like, you know, it was their translation help for French class. Like, we would try to be like, why do you need your phone while you're doing online school? And they'd be like, I need it. So it just felt like we could not put any limits on anymore, because it was so isolating for them, and the phone was how they connected. So I see the 24/7 cycle of phone use as really coming out of that lockdown time. So this is still some repair. You know, we've had a lot of slow repairs that we've been trying to do since COVID. And I think this reining this in, it got out of control during that time. And so, yeah, there are some really amazing principals and school boards in the state of Vermont who have just done their own research on this topic and, you know, in the last year decided to just make their phones better learning environments by having a policy where these phones and even the smartwatches or AirPods are really just stored away for the day, so the kids can focus on the academics and the social emotional aspect of school without the distraction that the phones offer. So really, we talk about it as removing a barrier to learning, which is a big focus of schools right now. What are the barriers and how can we remove them? So this is removing that barrier. And the schools that have done it, they're Setford Academy, Sharon Academy, Harwood Union Middle School and High School, Eagle Bay Academy. Those are the schools that have really done the strict, like the students can't physically access their phones from the start bell of the day until the end bell. Memorial South, up in the Stowe area, they moved to a policy where students are not allowed to be on their phones during the day. The phones are, like, in their possession still, but it's just they're not, you know, the cafeteria, they're not staring at their phones. It's not allowed. So they're sort of a middle ground. But the teachers and the students, especially from the schools where they're stored away, are just, the teachers are enjoying teaching more. They didn't realize how much they were scanning the classroom to police for phone use. Pretty constant.
You know, that's what I'm wondering. As it is now, the kids bring their phones into the classroom, and I know when I go to my sister's house, my nieces, they're in college now, but back when they were in high school, they'd be looking down, and I'd think, God, what's wrong with them? Why are they looking down? And actually have their phones under the table.
Exactly.
And is that what they do in
school?
That's what they're
doing. So you
doing?
Can just picture that. Yes. So what we hear from teachers and even students in the schools, most schools have a policy that says, you know, you can't have your phone out during class time. But during transitions and lunch periods, they can. That's the most common policy.
I see.
How it's enforced depends from teacher to teacher, and there's a lot of subjectivity to it. And so my stepson at Montpelier High School said, okay, so I asked him over Christmas, and he says, Liza, junior year, they were pretty strict about it. In every class, it was like, you know, put your phone in the shoe organizer on the wall and, like, you know, gone for the class. But then some reason, like during senior year, fewer and fewer teachers were really enforcing it. And, you know, I don't blame them because you want to focus on teaching.
Yeah.
You want to focus on your connection with kids. Every time that you have to nag them about their cell phone, you lose that opportunity for rapport. And so I don't fault teachers. It seems like he says that about 1/4 of his classes at Montpelier High School were actually no kids on their phones. So the kids were sneaking it and texting just sort of on and off throughout class, throughout their school day, 3/4 of their class time, you know. And teachers also, I talked with one teacher from Green Mountain Union who said regularly students are asking to leave his class to use the bathroom because they're not using transition time. They want to use every minute on their phones that they can. So interrupted learning, there's another barrier to learning, right?
Right.
And
they're smart.
And, and you know, I was talking with a representative at the State House who's actually not for this. Many of the legislators really want this and want to vote on it, but it's stuck in the House Education Committee. What I'm referring to is a piece of legislation that would make this policy apply to all Vermont schools. Right now, we sort of noticed that these schools are from more wealthier districts, right? Like Stepford, Sharon, Stowe. And we really want this for all schools, regardless of whether parents have time and privilege to advocate for it in their particular district. It's really about an equity thing.
What's the objection?
The objection, the one that I was getting towards when talking with the rep who is not for this, she says it's an educational tool. In class, she might ask her students to ask Siri something for a quick piece of data, and I say, well, aren't the Chromebooks? Every kid has a Chromebook. We worked hard for that. Couldn't they do a quick Google search? And she said, oh, well, the Chromebooks, they take a while to start up, and they're not charged. But
I think
for the small bit of inconvenience of waiting a couple minutes, or in my classroom, we had 3 desktops that were just always on in the back corner, so I would just send a kid, say, hey, you know, Trevor, go look up this, you know, and boom, we, like, got the answer that we needed. So we're saying that almost every thing that you can do on your phone for an educational tool, there's a version of it on the Chromebooks. You can even take pictures on the Chromebooks. And, you know, email is also an instantaneous communication for the worry that they won't be able to communicate with people. It is instantaneous. It's just not very shiny, right? And that's what we like about it. It doesn't have an addictive quality. It doesn't suck you in to the social media. Everyone wants to get done email as quick as possible, right? You're in, you communicate, and you're out, and then you're visiting and socializing. So some are saying that it's fine for the kids to be off it during class time, but we really feel like the social-emotional development, which happens in the hallways and at lunch, is as equally important as the academic curriculum, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, you brought up a really good point about the teachers, because if it's, especially if it's a state policy and a school policy, then the teachers don't have to be the bad guys.
Exactly. Yeah. They really get freed from that role, and they can just say, nope, look, we're plunking these phones into a locker for the day, and you'll get them at the end of the day. And it's just confusing for kids to go from on them in the hallway, off them in the classroom. And we have local teachers, like a U32 lunch monitor said she was really watching the other day, and 90% of the kids were staring at their phone.
Wow.
The cafeterias of Vermont are, like, quiet these days, you know?
Oh, no.
And there are students, I talk with teenagers, I remember at the high school youth group at the church where I worked, they would say, I don't really want to be on my phone, Liza, but everyone at my table is on their phone, so there's no one to talk to. you know?
Wow.
And so this frees them all up. And we just had an amazing effort by students at Thetford Academy where they heard that the House Education Committee is reluctant to schedule this bill for discussion. It's really stuck in their committee until they vote it out. It can't move forward in the process. And they do have a daunting task of figuring out the school funding mess. They have this proposal of the governor to create 5 mega school districts. So that is huge.
Yeah.
But we're saying this, it doesn't have to be too complicated because there's really widespread support. Parents and teachers would view you as the heroes of this if you could pass this. And school boards and principals, because many of them know that it's just like common sense, right? These are distractions, and they're limiting social time. But the school boards and principals don't want those, the small minority of vocal parents who are anxious, and this triggers a lot of anxiety for them, and they need a little bit more working through those fears. But what school boards at like Harwood Union said is in taking time to talk with all the stakeholders, they realized the science and the data was all on the side of storing phones for the day. And the other side had a lot of anxiety, parental anxiety mainly. Some students feel anxious about not having their phone on them, but that they could work with parental anxiety. But it's not appropriate for school policy and best learning environments to be dictated by some parents' anxiety. That's not a healthy model. So they did have some parents upset about it, but many parents were supportive. And now at this point, they're seeing how beneficial it is for the students, and they're supportive of it. Parents have really come around, and I think it's just not that long ago that we always had to go to the office if we needed to reach our parent for something, right?
Right.
Office phone. And vice versa, that a parent would call the school if they had important information to communicate to their kid. And and so I was telling you, these Thetford students decided they wanted to help give the legislators the student voice, because it's hard for them to get to the state house to give testimony.
Yeah.
So they wrote interview questions, and they filmed each other and got parental consent forms signed. They edited it. They did this huge effort over the last 9 days, and it just came out last night. We posted it on our website, and it's phenomenal. It's so good. Many of them were not for the policy and were shocked when they first heard over the summer that phones would not be a part of their school day.
Withdrawal symptoms.
Yes, exactly. But they all say there's more conversation. They have better social lives. They're more focused on academics.
Of my questions for you was, have you made any effort to contact students and get their opinion? And I guess you just answered that. I was wondering if
yes.
So,
I mean, talk about bravery. They already have this policy, so this work isn't even to benefit themselves.
Yeah.
They just realize that this is such a detriment to their generation, and they really want all schools in Vermont to adopt it. They asked that question. Do you think all schools in Vermont should have this policy? And every interviewee just said yes. Yes.
Wow, that's great.
There's no reason not to. It's everything to be gained, nothing to be lost. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's still not like cool to be advocating for this. Like, you know, the kids might feel all the benefits, but, you know, they sort of have to grumble about the policy. So I just really commend the Thetford students for being brave and just stating that, yeah, even though they weren't for it, that this has been really good. And even for, you know, the legislature sort of like money talks and test scores and things, one student says on the video, I'm doing way better in all my classes. I just focus way better on school without my phone there. And like when I'm taking a test now, I don't have my phone that I can be on once I finish the test. So I find that I'm actually going through the test and checking all my answers.
And getting better results, I'm sure.
Exactly, yeah.
I was just reading, and I don't know the answer to this, and I don't know if you do either, but it seems like you've done a lot of research on this. But can kids erase blocks that their parents have put on their phones?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Parents don't think that they can, but there are so many tech-savvy kids, and so any block that you put on, almost any block can get undone. The one that we found that our kids could not undo was the one that iPhones, I think, have where it shuts off while driving. That one, because we got a call from Europe saying, hey, I'm on a train and the phone thinks I'm driving. Can you tell me the password that you put on it so that I can unlock it and be on my phone? So that was the one. But we've heard that they sort of like they wipe their whole phone clean and then they reinstall all the apps. I don't quite understand it all, but it seems pretty easy to find a friend who will help you. And it did happen with our now 20-year-old. He would put on that he had some screen usage, you know. He knew we wouldn't believe it if it said like 15 minutes, right?
Yeah.
So he'd put it on for a couple hours, but it wasn't really showing. So the blocks, and what we're saying is, you know, it's really an equity question, which is where we think it needs to come from the state and not the local school boards, because the districts with less resources, those kids sadly go home and there's no adult at home to sort of monitor their screen use. They don't have the resources to have all these after-school activities that kids in wealthier districts can have, theater one day and dance class and having a healthy after-school life. So many of those kids, I worked with refugees the last year and a half before my current job, and I saw 1.5-year-olds or 2-year-olds who were just pretty constantly on an iPad, you know, babysitter.
Oh my God.
Without interruption, really. And so if the schools adopted this policy statewide, at least we would have a guarantee that every kid, pre-K through 12 in the state, would have a full school day, 6 hours, 7 hour break or pause from this. You know, addiction, it really starts to become an addiction. And just like schools are a place where kids can count on getting a meal, right, a breakfast and a lunch, which they need for sustenance, these kids who don't have limits at home for various reasons, I don't fault the parents always, you know.
Yeah.
Parents are going through their own challenges and traumas at school. They get the healthy model, you know, of the break from it. And then what the Thetford kids are finding, and they talk about this in the video, Jerry, is that because their new norm of how they are together is without phones out, you know, during the day and during lunch, when they're hanging out after school, they're not on their phones.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
That's amazing.
It's transferring because they feel how much better it feels, you know?
Yeah.
And so there is the argument of, oh, you shouldn't ban phones, they call it. Like, you shouldn't ban phones because they need to learn responsible use. But what we're finding is actually the way that you teach them how to use it responsibly is to give them a full day feel so that they can understand how the difference. And we found that with my own stepson. Some Saturdays my husband would just hide the phones in the morning before they got up and say, you know, you've been totally overdoing it this week. I don't want to hide your phone, but you just need a day to have a break from it. And they yell and scream and slam the door. But then I hate you, but then in their bedroom, like, maybe would pick out, they get bored, right? And so they take out the origami paper It was a hobby they had in middle school, and create this amazing origami or go toss a frisbee with a friend. And then I remember one particular day where my stepson is like 15 or 16, so sort of beyond snuggling up. But but at the end of the day, he and his dad were just laughing and joking on the couch, you know, together. And he said to his dad, I wanted to videotape it, but it's too late. he said, this has been the best day ever. Thank you for taking my phone away. Yes. Like, they're trapped by it, you know? Yeah. They're captive, and the apps are designed to be that way.
Yeah. Yeah, it's real. I think what you're doing is terrific. I have one more question before I want to get into the event. But do you, and it may, I don't know if you know this, but I've read where in addition to the mental issues and the social issues, there's a physical problem with being on a phone that much. Like, it can affect you physically. I don't know if you have any information on that.
Well, that's certainly interesting. I haven't delved into that side of it very much.
Yeah.
I mean, certainly we all know how quickly time can pass of just sitting, right?
Yeah.
When you get sucked in, you might just go to your phone to look up what time something on your calendar is, and then you get a photo memory popping up to you, right? Or a text, and then like half an hour later, you're like, wait, where did that time go? What was I looking for?
Yeah.
And so I imagine just one part of it, just the sedentary element of it, you know? And
and I guess radiation from 5G you read about, and that's all connected to the cell phones, and, you know, it's way beyond my area of expertise.
I really don't know about that. It would be interesting to hear more about it. I want to just put out, if anyone's listening, that our website is phonefreeschoolsvt.com. phonefreeschoolsvt.com, with schools plural. And so that's where you can find this video that I'm referring to. We just put it up last night on the homepage because we really want these students. They put all this work into it, and they're showing up. We want to show up to listen to them. And then, you know, there's a letter that you can sign, a letter of support that's written to all the legislators and the governor, saying we want this to be a statewide policy. Let's have Vermont remove this barrier and create this opportunity for all kids. And, you can just find out. You can read the text of the statewide legislation. You can see who the co-sponsors are, which there are 50 co-sponsors in the House, or 49, I guess.
Yeah.
And half are Republican and half are Democrat, which, like, what a wonderful thing in this current political climate. Let's lift up and let's bring to the House floor a bill that both sides of the aisle feel strong about, you know?
Yeah, that is terrific. And I was really happy to see both of our representatives here in the Mad River Valley are co-signers, I guess.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, they both are.
What are their names?
Candace White and Dara Torrey.
Super. And do you know if the senators, do you know how the senators from your area?
Look at, I only looked at the House. Oh, I couldn't find the Senate bill. When I put in the number I had, it came up with gun control.
Oh, yeah, because you put in S2, but it's S21. Maybe I sent you the wrong thing.
No, I don't think you did.
But, again, if you go to our website, phonefreeschoolsvt.com, there's a tab that's legislation. So if you go there, it'll take you right to the status page of those bills.
Yeah, I'll do
and
that.
I can't remember off the top of my head the senators. Terry Williams is the lead sponsor in the Senate.
Okay.
I think he's from Pomfret, maybe, or something. And the lead sponsor for the House bill, H-54, she's Representative Angela Arsenault from Williston. And they're both great. On the website, you can watch her video. Below the student one, there's a video of her introducing the bill to the House Education Committee on January 29th. But that was a few weeks ago, and when we ask them about taking it up again, they just say, oh, we've got too much to do. And the sort of analogy that I've been thinking of,
yeah,
in all my time shoveling snow, we've all been shoveling a lot of snow, right?
Yes, we have.
And so I'm thinking about a lot of empathy for them, but that this is such a high level of concern, and it's really, it's bringing down teacher morale. And, you know, some teachers want to leave the profession because of this.
Really?
Students aren't looking forward to coming to school because they don't have friends. They don't have a social life at school. Their social life is on their phone.
Right.
You know, and
right.
the level of distraction, the teen mental health crisis is really what drove the Montpelier High School staff to adopt this for next year, is that they just see that teens are not doing well with high levels of depression and anxiety. And so yeah. that drove them to do it. But where was I going with that point?
While you were talking, I did pull up the Senate bill, S-21. You're right, I had the wrong number. And both of our senators are there, too, Senator Ann Cummings.
Oh, really?
And Andrew Perchlick, yep. They're both on
Oh,
it.
Yes. So, great. And yeah. is Ann Watson one of your senators
yes.
as well?
She,
yes, and she wanted to she wasn't a co-sponsor, but yeah. She really wanted to hear different sides of it, and I've been part of a conversation with her where, this is good to talk about. She had some wonderings about a school emergency situation and thought probably parents would have some pushback if they're worried about an emergency situation, you know, where...
Well,
there might be something happening at the school. So we just talked her through that, and really... The school security and first responders say phones often actually can make kids less safe during a school emergency because they're a distraction.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And we really want students to be super alert and really focused on what the adults in charge of the response are telling them to do. And so those phones can distract. And also nationally, the first responders say that misinformation that is spread by student texts can actually really complicate their response situation.
Wow, yeah.
And this happened on a personal level. It was exactly 2 years ago in 2023. There were a half dozen schools in Vermont that received a hoax call to the local police department.
Oh my God.
I don't know if you remember this, that there was a school shooter in the building. In the high school. They got a hoax call from the internet, but they
yeah.
had to respond, right? And so the
right.
school went into lockdown, and it was just every parent's, you know, worst nightmare.
Right.
But there actually was no school shooter. It was a complete hoax. But in the time it took the police to respond, to, like, clear the building, to, you know, what a hard thing for those police to respond to that.
Right.
And the students are waiting quietly locked in their classrooms with their teacher, but they're all on their phones.
Oh.
And you know what, Jerry? They started texting. I don't, who knows how it started, that two students had been shot.
Oh my gosh, and that was, oh.
And it was all made up. And so that, actually the misinformation spread by the texting caused the real trauma and the real
yeah.
panic that the counselors had to work on afterwards, and the older siblings texted their younger ones, the middle school, who supposedly aren't on their phones, but
yeah.
that spread panic because they are on their phones, right?
Oh.
And so then the middle school staff had to deal with it. And the other thing is, like, if your student in that horrible to imagine situation
yeah.
is hiding, how horribly ironic and tragic would it be if the parent calling to check in sets off a light or a sound that gives away their location, you know?
Yeah, yeah. There's
and the final couple points are, one, that especially in our rural areas, if you had an entire student body all of a sudden on the phone lines, it can jam the communication lines. So
yeah.
the first responders might not be able to reach the principal and share critical information.
Right.
And then the other, like, let's think about preventing school shooter, right? Like many times they are students at the school who have been bullied, who have been lonely and isolated and anxious. And so if you have a school, like, you have to watch the Thetford video, and they just talk about how much happier the school feels, you know, how it feels more inclusive at lunch, like everyone's just having these great conversations. And it won't solve everything overnight. I know it's not that simple of a thing, but just starting with kids having more face-to-face conversations would make them like school more and have more friends, and maybe it will create less students who, in the worst case scenario, might, you know, retaliate against their school. So it's really, I think, phone-free schools create a happier, safer environment. You know, when the lockdown happened at Montpelier High School, the superintendent was incredible. Every 20 minutes, every half hour, we were getting reassuring, factual-based texts about the situation. And and that's how it really should work for parents, because I'm sure parents were getting the text from their students, too, that two students had been shot, right?
Yeah.
So the panic that they felt wouldn't have existed if students didn't have their cell phones and it was just the facts that the superintendent was sending out.
And if there is an emergency, I mean, when I was in school, if there was an emergency, they called the office, called the teacher.
Exactly.
It takes a couple of minutes for you to, you know.
Schools have always had to navigate this, and we can do it in this day and age, too.
Yeah. Well, do you want to talk? Let's talk about the community day that's happening.
Yes. So, you know, we're hearing this message. Even some members on the House Education Committee really want to take up this bill, but they're hearing from leadership that, nope, we just have to stay focused on the school funding question. And, my analogy, I forgot that's where I was heading a little bit ago, the snow analogy. So the Education Committee has this daunting task of how are we going to pay for education in Vermont? And that's huge. It's like a family having to figure out the mortgage payment, right? Like if you can't pay the mortgage for the next year, you lose your house. That is a huge priority.
Yeah.
But I sort of picture them around the dining room table looking at their budgets and paychecks, and meanwhile it's a winter like we've had where there's more and more snow falling every day, and the pressure on the roofs of that heavy snow that's going ignored is building up and building up, you know, and it's causing structural stress on the house, and it's not a good thing. It can actually be a dangerous thing, right? And
right.
So, like, before the last snowstorm, I just went out on the roof and shoveled, and then that was done. You know, I could relax, and that's what we're saying is, like, you still need to tend the major stressor that is phones in schools in Vermont, and it will alleviate so much stress and pressure for teachers and students. Just take 2 hours of testimony and then just vote it out, because the rest of the legislature really wants to vote on it. There really is widespread support.
Yeah, and I'm guessing it would help the budget, not hurt it. I mean, what would it cost to do this? And then you would save money in the end. Because
exactly. Yeah. If you look at most schools' mental health staff, you know, like, they've gone from one or two school counselors to now one or two social workers and behavior specialists, and We spend, they estimate, $53 million in the state of Vermont on school counselors and support staff. And we love them, but it has skyrocketed the need. And let's bring that anxiety down. Let's have kids, you know, in a happier place so that we don't need quite that much money spent on their mental health inside the school buildings. So we say it's definitely a common denominator related to all the funding issues. If kids are distracted in class, they need more support staff, right, to help them focus and stay on task. So we feel like this is low-hanging fruit. They could be the heroes of the state by passing this, but we really need them to feel that support. I think they feel like it's more controversial than it is, and they don't want to take that and have it be a huge can of worms. So we're really hoping to get big showing. We're aiming for 100 people in the State House next Wednesday. We've ordered 100 stickers to put on so that people can recognize us as a group. We wanted to do it during what is the school vacation week for most, for many Vermont schools, which is next week. Because so it's hard for teachers.
Yeah.
And it's hard for students to get to the State House and talk.
Yeah.
But it's we're meeting at 9 o'clock in the morning. For those who can get there at that time, if you can't, you can come later. But at 9 o'clock, leave time for parking. 9 o'clock, we're going to be gathering in room 10 of the State House. If you've never been there, you walk in either side of the State House, and there's a long hallway, and then there's a side hallway that sort of makes a T. Room 10 is on that side hallway at the end. And we're going to have time to help orient people about the main points of the bill. The bill is called the Phone and Social Media Free Schools Bill, and it's H-54-S-21. We're just going to give them a little orientation to the State House and how you can try to reach your reps. You can send a message with the pages. You could invite them to have lunch with you at 12 if you're able to be there that long. And we're going to even have time to practice talking, having a conversation with someone about the bill, like pretend it's in the hallway, you know.
Yeah.
And we'll give people, we'll model it, and then we'll give people time to practice with a partner. We'll have a little handout with some of the points. And so that's from 9 to 10. And then 10 to 11, we let people go and to look for their reps, or really just to talk it up with anyone, any reps they can find in the State House. And we want kids to be there. But if you're a parent of a kid, a bunch of kids, bring them, little kids, great. Let's make them feel the support of families and parents and doctors and counselors and grandparents. Grandparents are a huge part of our movement. Our letter of support asks people to say their role, and grandparents really care about this issue.
Yep.
So that's from 10 to 11 circulating, and then at 11, we'll meet in room 11. It can hold 100 people. We've got it reserved. And we're going to have community testimony. We have a bunch of people planned to speak, and if there's time, people not on the agenda can speak. It's not official testimony for the committees because they haven't taken it up yet. We've been asking them to take testimony, but we're saying, well, you won't take it. We're going to create our own testimony, and local cable access, Orca Media, will be there doing a live stream. I hate to mention the live stream because I really want, if people want to watch it, I want them to come in person to room 11. But 11 to noon, there'll be people speaking in favor of this. And we have let the committees know that they're going to be there. And if they wanted to hear from these people and take official testimony, we'd be more than happy to have them go in the committee rooms as well. And then at noon, we're letting people go. They can have lunch with their reps and then be on their way. So it's this Wednesday. You can RSVP on our website, phonefreeschoolsvt.com. I know your audience, like your local audience, are Harwood Union, which are the most important voices, are parents and students and teachers from the schools that have done this. Because what we're hearing is, oh, we can't do this. But if you bring in voices that say, well, we're doing it and it's actually going well, it sort of negates that argument.
Yeah. I'd also like to add, if people have not been to the State House, this is a golden opportunity to go and see that incredible building and to just see what democracy is, see what our government is, see how it runs. And I can tell you, I've been in the State House with controversial issues that my reps didn't agree with me on, but they are thrilled to see someone from their district there and participating. They're so happy that someone from their district is there. And whether they agree with you or not, they're happy to see you. But like you said,
it's so true, Jerry.
Yeah. So what a great thing to do with your kids on school vacation week. You know, take them to the State House.
It's a beautiful building. It's just beautiful to walk around and you can sit in the back of the House chamber or the Senate chamber. Really, I love that you that you said that. And again, on our website, there's a spot of frequently asked questions. So if someone says something and you're like, oh, yeah, I hadn't thought of that, one argument is that students learning English need their phones for the translator app. But actually, if you talk with the parents and you talk with the teachers who teach English as a second language, they say, no, the main time for their curriculum is the playground and the cafeteria. They want those conversations.
Exactly.
That socializing is how we learn English.
Right.
And if they have their phones, those students are more than likely than any to find, you know, solace in the screen and not talk. And not learn, exactly. And they can use it as a crutch. And all the translator apps can be found on their Chromebooks if they really need it to keep up with the subject. But on this day, in room 11 at 11 on Wednesday, we will have an ELL instructor from Lamoille South School District to speak to that point exactly. So there'll be lots of great testimony.
That's terrific. You want to give the website one more time before we close?
Yes. So phonefreeschoolsvt.com, and you'll find the video of the Thetford students. There's a support letter. We're at 850 signatures. We would love to be at 1,000. So if you want to sign it and then share our website out with all your friends, that would maybe help us get over that hump so we could announce 1,000 signatures. That would be so great.
That's great.
And there's links under the action steps for how to find your legislator's contact information. Even though you have all your legislators in the Valley are supporting it.
Yeah.
So what we're saying is now reach out and tell them, it's great you support it, but you won't get to vote for it if that education committee doesn't take it up. Will you please talk with your colleagues on the education committee and say, my constituents want this to come to a vote?
Yeah, great. That's great. Yeah, and the more they hear from you, the better it is. And this is Vermont. You can make a difference here more than anywhere.
If people hear from 10 constituents, that is a lot.
That's a lot. That's huge. That's huge to them. So, okay. Well, Liza, it was a pleasure talking to you, and thank you so much for all your effort. Thank you so much.
And if people want to hear the recording, like if we could post the recording on our website, Jerry, where would I find that?
I will send it to you. And the other thing, you can do a PSA at the radio station, and I'll explain to you how to do that. When we get off the air.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks so much.
Okay, Liza. Thank you.
Okay. Yep, bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Okay, guys, I am going to turn you over to Hal. Gary will be here at 2. And have a wonderful weekend playing in the snow. And I will see you next Friday. And don't forget, Wednesday, February 26th at the State House, and it is a great experience, especially if you have kids, even if you don't, just to go see the building. The building has excellent artwork, paintings, history. You get to meet legislators. You possibly could even meet the governor isn't there really often, but he is there, but the lieutenant governor is there. You can, and these guys are just hanging out, and they're happy to talk to you and to meet you, and especially our legislators. They're really happy if you go there and you're participating. And this is such an issue that everybody, I think, is on board. It's bipartisan, multipartisan, and a really good thing to do. So take your kids, go to the State House Wednesday, February 26th, and I will see you next week.